deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for the Big Scary Show.
Hi, it's Tony Cook from the Honey Pyramids here in Lawndale, North Carolina. I'd like to give a big shout out to the Big Scary Show. Listen in.
Hey guys, it's Hatchet from Horror Fields, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is Jason McKittrick from CryptoCurium.com, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me,
John Kassir, the voice of
the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to the Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
This is Christopher Gendron from Art Muffin and Monster Wash, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Steve Colbert from Scary Tinker Labs in Santa Ana, California, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
You're listening to the Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
I can't believe it's over. Haunt Season 2015 is dead and buried. And I think it was nothing short of amazing. Hey, where are my pants? I just don't remember what's happened. What do I remember? Let's see. Storms. Yeah, Storm's gonna rant in a haunt minute. The Unknown Scare Actor's gonna talk legends and lore. Whose blood is this? Badger's going to read the news and wrap up his trip around North Carolina and South Carolina with stops at the Haunted Pyramid and Horror Fields. Why am I in Chicago? Anyone? The Haunt Rocker's going to spin the tunes. The Round Table of Terror is going to wrap up the season that was, featuring special correspondent Veister. Talk about all the adventures we've had during this past few weeks. What we remember. All this plus more, only on the Big Scary Show. Hello? Anybody out there? Hello? Anyone?
Go. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger live out here and there, everywhere, checking out all the haunts. I'm in Lawndale, North Carolina, one of my favorite places. It's creepy, it's eerie, it's foggy. It's a perfect night to go haunting. It's the last weekend of the season, winding down. This is the Haunted Pyramids. Been here a few times over the last few years. Always a fun time. Tony Cook, the owner here. How you doing, Tony?
I am doing great, Drew. It's good to see you again.
Absolutely love coming out here to the Pyramids, checking out all the new stuff. You've got some new hearses out here, it looks like. You got the flaming gates, all the cool stuff out here. Monster Manor. Oh, there's the requisite chainsaw.
Okay,
what you got new for 2015?
Oh, we've actually extended the pyramids a little bit, changed up a few rooms. We have some live animals crawling around inside the haunt tonight. So
nice
and something special.
Now, they're supposed
everyone.
To be there. They didn't just wander in out of the middle of the woods of Cleveland County here, right?
Most of them are supposed to be in there.
Okay, that's good.
We'll leave it at that. So. But we've added a few rooms, brought back some old faithful characters, you know, that people love to see here. We've changed up a few things atmosphere-wise and make it a little darker, a little foggier, a little spookier.
It's hard to get much darker than where we are. I mean, this is literally out in the middle of nowhere. I think the only light source is the two power poles plus what you've got set up here, and it ain't much. So, you know, this is just one of those epitomes of a haunt out in the middle of nowhere. But I know we've had some bad weather in late September, early October, middle of October. What's up with the pyramids weather-wise?
We've been soggy this season, but it's led to some of our biggest nights we've ever had here in 18 years on the sunny, moonlit nights. So.
Well, of which this is one of them, and the crowds seem to be gathering.
Oh, yes. Yeah, nice and early, too, tonight. They're already coming in. It looks like they're getting scared pretty good already.
Now, when I pulled up here, I saw some, there goes that.
yeah.
Saw some TV cameras and things looking like you got set up here. I know you can't talk too much about it, but what's going on?
If things go the way they're supposed to go in the perfect world, there's a man here that's pitching a reality TV show based on carnivals and haunted houses. So that would be something reoccurring here if this did happen.
Well, you do have a haunted house and yet a carnival here as well, it seems.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we try to go for the mixture of a haunted little fairground type atmosphere. We got cotton candy and other stuff that will scare you to eat.
And you've got some genuine movie props and stuff like that out here. I mean, you work in the movies from time to time, and you do have some stuff out here that has seen some actual movie screen time.
Oh, yeah. We got stuff from Hellraiser 3 to Paul Blart Mall Cop, Talladega Nights to Children of the Corn 2. I'm actually currently working on a TV series that will be on Cinemax next year called Outcast. I can't tell you much about it, but the creator of The Walking Dead created this, so it should be very good. So look for it.
Well, hopefully you can apply some of that stuff to 2016 at the Haunted Pyramids. Now, before we get cut to ribbons here, just we'll wind this up here because this guy's getting really close. For people wanting information on the Haunted Pyramids, which is Monster Manor, the Haunted Pyramids, the Burke Asylum, and Clown Town, how can they get information, websites, social medias, and stuff, so that in 2016, if they're traveling along I-85, I-40, they can just pop down to Lawndale, North Carolina, and check you guys out?
Well, of course, it's hauntedpyramids.com for the website. Find us on Facebook, Haunted Pyramids on Facebook, and we're easy to find now. So, I mean, we have almost 300,000 people, you know, that's found our website.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we're growing every year.
And we love to hear that. And congratulations, 18 years and going. Tony Cook, always a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show, hauntedpyramids.com. Come on out here sometime and get real scared. You can't do it this year. Oh, one question.
Sure.
Last year you were open Valentine's Day and maybe a couple of other nights. Are you planning on doing some off-season openings there?
Yes, we are. Actually, next month in November, Friday the 13th, we're going to
awesome.
Have a special rate. So we'd
Which
like
is
to
a weekend see. This is running. So are you going to do a Christmas show? Or are you going to do a Valentine's Day or anything like that?
Probably not for Christmas. We need to rest a little bit. But the Valentine's Day, we may do that again. It was like the coldest day in history here last year.
It was mighty chilly when we came up here. It was cold, but the scares were hot.
Awesome. That's what we want to hear.
So once again, of course, when you have some news about possible Valentine's Day something or other, we'll be sure and report it here on the Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
You've put everything and all of your passion into your haunt this year. You know it's going to be a busy October, and there's always that nagging feeling, I'm never able to see some of these other great haunts. The things I see other people with the same passion I have that will keep me going for the next year. Well, Legendary Haunt Tour is your opportunity to do that, and you need to get moving on that now. They're going this year out of the Chicago area, Statesville Haunted Prison, Wisconsin Fear Grounds, and the 13th Floor in Chicago. This is three nights of haunt. They got great ticket options available. LegendaryHauntBoar.com. That's where you need to go. Check it out. Get more details. The hotel booking is closing in just about a month, so get on there. Do this. Plan for it now. VIP options. You guys are going to love this. I was up there for it in Salem, and what you'll see will blow you away. They do a great job putting it together. Check it out. Great options for a weekend. Get moving. If you're inclined to do it, get that hotel booked. We all know how the hotels work. So again, LegendaryHauntTour.com. Share your passion. Don't get left out this season. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for this type of tour.
Michael Gaither, the Krampus comes out tonight on the Big Scary Show.
Kids have it easy in the Western world at Christmas time. All the boys and girls do their best to make Santa's list. But in old world Europe, there's another guy who makes the bad kids running high. The story, it goes like this. He's not the Christmas angel. He's Santa's evil twin. On Christmas Eve, when the bad kids sleep, that's when his work begins. Cloven hooves in a long black suit, he's really quite a sight. Hide your stockings, say your prayers, the Krampus comes out tonight. Krampus origins aren't that clear. They go back a couple of thousand years, but every myth agrees that punishment is his goal. He might use a switch, might use a chain. In some countries, he'll drag you away. You'd be happy to settle for a lump of coal. He's not the Christmas angel. He's Santa's evil twin. On Christmas Eve, when the bad kids sleep, that's when his work begins. A drunken beast with long, sharp teeth, he's really quite a sight. Hide your stockings, say your prayers, the Krampus comes out tonight. He doesn't get a TV special, you won't see him in a Christmas card. With any luck, you won't see him at all. So kids, you be good, just like you know you should. The moral, simple as that. Hope you get a visit from the guy in red on Christmas Eve, instead of that demon left in black. Merry Christmas, and watch your back.
And ladies and gentlemen, it is the time of the show where, if you're lucky, you could win a fantastic prize courtesy of Screamline Studios, because it is time for the gruesome giveaway for the month of November, courtesy of ScreamlineStudios.com. Be sure to check out all their great stuff, some of which you could win right now. You know how this works, and if you don't, here's how it works. I'm going to ask you a question. The answer is in the show. You listen to the show. You get the answer. You email us your name, your number, and of course the answer to contest@bigscaryshow.com before Monday, November 23rd at midnight, and we will pick a random entrant, and you could be a winner. So for the November gruesome giveaway, the question is, Hatchet from Horrorfields says, in 2016, Horrorfields will be what? If you think you know the answer, email that answer with your name and number, contest@bigscaryshow.com, before Monday, November 23rd, and you could be selected to be the winner here on the gruesome giveaway, once again sponsored by Screamline Studios. Make sure you check out their stuff, keep listening, and good luck. We'll be right back.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We start off with this news on the upcoming reimagining of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Orange is the New Black star Laverne Cox has been cast in the iconic role of Dr. Frankenfurter in the upcoming reimagining of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Tim Curry, of course, played the role in the original film back in 1975, and he was perfect. It was always going to be a near impossible task to replace him, so it's great that they finally stepped in an entirely different direction and hired a woman to fill the role. The Rocky Horror Picture Show reboot will be directed and choreographed by Kenny Ortega and will be a two-hour event when it airs on Fox in the fall of 2016. We have a teaser from the Hush haunted attraction in Detroit, Michigan. 3 years ago, Hush opened its doors to you. In 2013, you entered the mind of a madman under the care of Dr. Phineas Fun. In 2014, you toured the clean halls of the Hush Corporation's Detroit facility. And in 2015, you visited the abandoned and overrun Hush Corporation. In 2016, you'll be welcomed to Hush Haunted Thrill Park, a multi-attraction 17-acre park. Keep up with all the details at facebook.com/HushDetroit. We have this news from the Circle of Ash haunted attraction in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We're so excited to announce that our new home will be at the Linn County Fairgrounds for our 2016 season. We've heard from so many of you wondering where we were this year. I can now promise that we'll be back, bigger, and scarier than ever. We can't wait to get our fright on next October. Until then, please be on the lookout for our monsters around town. A few of them have been restless. To keep up with all the latest details, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/CircleOfAsh or CircleOfAsh.com. We have this news on a remake of Stephen King's It. Andy Muschietti, director and producer of Guillermo del Toro's Mama, is preparing It, the long-gestured and troubled Stephen King adaptation that would be made as two feature films. Recently announced, Andy Muschietti substituted Cary Fukunaga on the New Line project. Shooting is now set to take place next summer, partly to allow for work with children as they have the main roles in the first part, and casting is currently underway, with Will Poulter still in the mix for the role of Pennywise, the demonic clown. Will Poulter would be a great option. For me, he is at the top of the list, Muschietti firmed up. King described 50s terror iconography, he added, and I feel there is a whole world now to rediscover and to update. There won't be mummies or werewolves. Terrors are going to be a lot more surprising. In 1960, seven outcast kids known as the Loser Club fight an evil demon who poses as a child-killing clown. 30 years later, they are called back to fight the same clown again. Fukunaga's vision for It was to create two separate films, one which tackled the protagonists as children, and the second film to focus on them as adults. And as usual, we'll follow this story and bring you updates as we have them. We have some sad news from the Dark Minds haunted attraction in Alpena, Wisconsin. Well, it's about that time. It's been 12 years now, and we have had the pleasure of scaring tens of thousands of you while bringing new life into Alpena. It's the best city I could ever live in as far as I'm concerned. We, the entire Dark Minds haunted attraction staff, would like to thank everyone who has supported us and helped us make this happen each year. Nicole and I are retiring from the haunt world and selling the Dark Minds brand in its entirety, building not included. We truly hope someone local picks it up to continue it on in our community, but that's out of my hands. Most importantly, we want to say thanks for coming and loving our haunted house for all these years. We truly loved haunting you. The best city to ever live in, Alpena rocks. Thanks from the bottom of our heart, Dark Minds Haunted Attraction. Sincerely, the man behind the curtain. To get information about the items for sale, you can call 989-766-3007 or facebook.com/darkmindsproductions989. And finally, we have this news from McCamey Manor via www.sandiegouniontribune.com. San Diego's infamous terror attraction, McCamey Manor, has resumed operations at a private home in Rancho Peñasquitos after a failed attempt to relocate to a small town in Illinois. Proprietor Russ McCamey has scared patrons for years by simulating abductions, assaults, and other horrors at his home, named the most extreme haunted house in the world by Tech Times and the New York Daily News, and many others. When he lost his job as a veterans advocate this year, he said he attempted to move his financially strapped venture to a more affordable region. He ran into public opposition in Illinois. Quote, "I have to find someplace that's supportive," McCamey said. "It's tricky. I've learned people will go to great extent to shut us down." McCamey said he thinks a lot of problems McCamey Manor has faced recently stem from his efforts to take it from a private hobby to a money-making business. Because McCamey Manor did not charge for admission and entertained only a small number of participants, the city didn't automatically scrutinize it for conformity to codes and regulations as it would a business, McCamey said. He recently applied for a business license for the first time. Ben Armstrong, president of America Haunts, a professional group for large professional traditional haunted houses, said McCamey Manor caters to a very small audience of hardcore thrill seekers and provides a very, very different product. While McCamey Manor is often called an extreme haunted house, Armstrong says, he and most other professional attraction owners America Haunts represents consider it a simulated abduction. McCamey said he has identified a new place to move McCamey Manor and hopes to move it out of his home in San Diego and into a temporary location within the next few months. He declined to say where. As always, we will keep on top of this story and bring you updates as they become available.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Do you want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction. With features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more, HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind. Check them out at HauntPay.com and start now for free.
Where do some phobias come from? Is it fear of the known or fear of the unknown? Some fears are passed down from generation to generation based on nothing but legends and lore. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Okay, Haunters, the Unknown Scaractor here. Halloween's over and we're back to cryptozoology. And this time we're going to cover just a blanket area of the U.S. and we're going to talk about the Thunderbird. A legendary creature in certain North American indigenous peoples' history and culture. It is considered a supernatural bird of power and strength. It is especially important and frequently depicted in art, songs, and oral histories of many Pacific Northwest cultures, and is found in many various forms among the peoples of the American Southwest, the Great Lakes, and the Great Plains. The Thunderbird's name comes from the common belief that the beating of its enormous wings causes thunder and stirs the wind. The Lakota name for the Thunderbird is Wakjian, meaning sacred, and Kija, meaning winged. And if I brutalize those pronunciations, I'm sorry, but I'm not Native American. At least only 1/16. Anyway, across many North American cultures, the Thunderbird carries many of the same characteristics. It is described as a large bird capable of creating storms and thundering while it flies. Clouds are pulled together by its wing beats, the sound of thunder made by its wings clapping. Sheet lightning, the lightning flashing from its eyes when it blinks, and individual lightning bolts made by the glowing snakes that it carries around with it. In masks, it is depicted as multicolored with two curling horns and often teeth within its beak. Now, going on to more of the cryptozoological side of things, the Thunderbird was encountered, or was an account was recorded back in 1890 by a couple of cowboys in Arizona. And these cowboys claimed that they'd killed a giant bird-like creature with an enormous wingspan. It is said to have had smooth skin, featherless wings like a bat, and a face that resembled an alligator. This is similar to a prehistoric pterodactyl, and an animal whose existence was known at the time. They allegedly dragged the carcass back to town, where it was pinned with wings outstretched across the entire length of a barn. A picture of this event was alleged to have been published in a local newspaper, the Tombstone Epitaph. Cryptozoology.com has an account of the story with the events taking place in the state of Texas. According to Mark Hall, the Epitaph did indeed print a story about the capture of a large and unusual winged creature on an April 26, 1890. Beyond this single story, however, no one has made a historic corroboration that this event ever occurred. It is generally considered an urban legend. Utterly fictional tall tales were not an uncommon feature in newspapers of the era. No one has ever produced a copy of the Thunderbird photograph, though numerous people have made claims to its existence. One Ivan T. Sanderson claims to have once owned a copy of the photo, which vanished after he loaned it to an acquaintance in the 1960s. Convenient. The television program Freaky Links staged a similar photo, giving new life to the Thunderbird photograph legend. Jerome Clark speculates that the description of the basic image in question, men standing alongside a winged creature nailed to a barn, is evocative enough to implant a sort of false memory, leading some people to vaguely remember seeing the photo at some distant, imprecise time. In the 20th century, Bigfoot researcher and cryptozoological author Lauren Coleman wrote about a series of Thunderbird sightings in the 1940s. On April 10, 1948, three individuals in Overland, Illinois, spotted what they thought was a passing plane, but after seeing a large set of flapping wings, they realized that this quote-unquote plane was something very different. A few weeks later, in Alton, Illinois, a man and his son saw what they described as an enormous bird-like creature with a body shaped like a naval torpedo. The creature was flying at least 500 feet and cast a shadow the same size as a small plane. Various reportings or sightings were recorded at the same time in and around the St. Louis, Missouri area. Among the most controversial reports was in 1977 from Lawndale, Illinois. A group of three boys were at play in a residential backyard. Two large birds approached and chased the boys. Two escaped unharmed, but the third boy wasn't so lucky. One of the birds reportedly clamped his shoulder with its claws and then lifted him about 2 feet off the ground, carrying him some distance. He fought the bird, which finally released him. Viewed by some as a tall tale, the descriptions given by the witness of these birds matched that of an Andean condor, a large black bird with a ringed white neck and a wingspan up to 10 feet. However, an Andean condor's talons are not strong enough to lift heavy objects. Lauren Coleman and his brother Jerry interviewed several witnesses after this reported event. And finally, in the 21st century, in 2002, a sighting of a large bird-like creature with a wingspan of about 14 feet was reported in Alaska. The Anchorage Daily News reported witnesses describing the creature like something out of the movie Jurassic Park. Scientists suggest a giant bird may have simply been a stellar sea eagle, which have a wingspan of 6 to 8 feet, and they are an enormous bird. I've seen one myself. There have also been previous reports of similar creatures in the same area about that time. Paranormal reality series Destination Truth traveled to Manitowoc in 2009 to search for the creature. As recently as 2007, sightings have been claimed in the area around San Antonio, Texas. So, what is the Thunderbird? Is it a pteranodon? Is it some huge feathered creature? The Native Americans believed in it, so again, there's got to be some kind of basis to most of what you've most legends you hear about.
And remember one thing, Haunters. Most legend has a basis in fact.
Woo!
And ladies and gentlemen, it's over. For the most part, we're putting the proverbial nail in the coffin on the 2015 Halloween season here on the Roundtable of Terror. And as we've done for the last, you know, few years, we're just basically going to talk with the hosts and find out how our seasons went, kind of talk about the Halloween season 2015, all the good stuff, the bad stuff, any humorous stories, any adventures, and all that good stuff with our hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from haunted New England.
The unknown scare actor, who, by the way, had a great intro last show.
Oh, now you're going to stroke my ego. I see how it is. Greetings from Mall Central.
The high deserts of Las Vegas, home of the unknown, or the haunt rocker, Jerry Vane.
He doesn't even know who the hell I am anymore.
The unknown haunt rocker.
The unknown haunt
rocker. The unknown haunt rocker, apparently.
Special correspondent Veister is joining us today.
And hello, everyone.
My name is Drew Badger, down here in Charlotte. Rain, rain, and yet more rain. So, gentlemen, how were your seasons?
I'll start since nobody's jumped in. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. One of the best seasons I've had in years. It was everything I could hope for and more. And next year I hope for even more. It was just that amazing. Mall, the Mobile Actors United Legion, has really, really blossomed. We lost one of our key players and my business partner, Jason, in January. But you know what? We're carrying on and without him, and he's always with us in spirit. And, it definitely helped us. We doubled the amount of venues we covered this year. Last year we did four. This year we did actually eight venues. Just a phenomenal season for us. I mean, one of my biggest clients, I could not keep enough actors ready for them. That's how great this season was for us. I mean, I could go on and on, but I've got such a phenomenal group of actors that work for me. Even people like Jackie Steiner, now Apple, Tori Borkowski, Damian Reaper, won the Jason Henry Award, Troy Baldock and Dan Leopold, Zach Foster, Chris Sheely. I mean, the list goes on and on. I'm blown away by this season. I really am. And I look forward to really even more incredible things for next season.
So you're saying it was successful more in a profitable sense, or I mean, an amazing in a profitable sense?
Profitable, you know, was kind of marginal because of some contractual issues. I didn't really, you know, I kind of was close to what I made last year, but overall, for everybody having fun and enjoying what they do, because that's why Mall was created. Mall wasn't created about the money. It was created about the creativity and the love of scaring. So in that respect, I couldn't ask for more. I mean, what a great group of people, some amazing scares. And on the last night of our whole season, which was at Indie Scream Park on last Saturday, which was the 24th, I believe, of October, I even had a GoPro strapped to my chest, and that video will be coming up soon because I got some really good scares on that.
Very nice.
Cool. I have to echo what Jim was saying there. We had a really nice season. I mean, first of all, thank you to Jim for coming out to the Springboro Haunted Hayride and assisting us a bit on several occasions. Your presence was a big help, so all sarcasm aside, we had one of the best home displays we've had in years, a huge Halloween party, which can always be a mixed bag with us, and the reviews came in this year. Some of the we got direct mentions several times, which was a really nice little ego boost. Okay, as I squeeze that back down, just a lot of fun this year. It was a really good year.
You know, I've got to echo what Eric said, and thank you very much, Eric. You guys, at the Springboro Haunted Hayride, we had some amazing times, and everybody there was just so accommodating, and working with them this season, not only as an actor trainer, but my whole team was there for what we hoped to have been a weekend, but the weather didn't quite cooperate. But we
yeah.
But we got people out there throughout the season to help them out when we could. Just an amazing group of actors, an amazing group of people, and really a haunt that you guys need to keep an eye on this haunt, because there's going to be more and more talk about this haunt as time goes on, because they are really growing. And watching Eric and Lisa work and everybody else, the laundry list could just go on and on. There's some amazing actors there. There's a guy that plays the boogeyman in one scene.
John.
Yes. John is
amazing. John Moran.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's...
That guy...
Go ahead.
Yeah, that guy, he's... Keep an eye out for that name.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a haunter that just knocks it out of the park, and he is 1,000% into whatever character he does. So, yeah, Springboro is great. Eric and Lisa were great. Everybody there... I mean, I can gush on and on, but I'm going to stop and digress and let somebody else talk.
I thank you for saying all of that, Jim, and I have to say this. Towards the second half of the season, we got moved from that town scene. We got to put right in the back of John's scene with that young lady, so we were bouncing off each other. All the rest of the last, I would have to say, 3 or 4 weeks, oh, my God, we had him screaming between Lisa, My Vampires, and his wonderful boogeyman. And then the last weekend, he went back and started playing Michael Myers again, which is his forte. Whoa, we had fun. And my God, I've never seen kids scream and fall to the ground in tears so much. It was wonderful.
And he was an amazing Michael Myers, because me and the team, we went through last night. And we got to see him perform as Michael Myers. And
is he a knockout or what?
He scared me. That's how good he was as Michael Myers. I mean,
he scared that young lady who was his victim. Her name's Hannah.
Yeah.
She was coming up to us all night Friday night when he was doing that, and she kept going, "You need to do something. He's in full Michael Myers mode, and he's freaking me out." It was great.
But you know, Michael Myers is a trademark character.
There's the problem.
But when he was the boogeyman, just as intense.
Oh, yeah.
And even more impressive in my book.
I would say it's split down the middle. I like them both. But his Michael Myers is intense. But it was easier to bounce off his boogeyman.
Right.
Right as they come out of the house, he drives them out, and they come into my waiting arms. So, and the boogeyman talks. The Michael Myers character doesn't say a word, obviously.
Right. Right, he does. But, you know, this season... Whether it be at Springboro, I mean, Maul was at Waverly Hills Sanatorium. We were at Fear Fair. We were at Darkview. We were at 100 Acres Manor. Indie Scream Park. We were all over the place this year. Matter of fact, I've got a team going to Horror Hike in Lawrenceburg, Indiana next weekend to finish out the season. So it's not over yet.
Ooh.
Yes. Me, personally, I'll be in Florida at the time. On vacation, well-deserved vacation.
Yeah.
But the rest of the team will still be working. We did Game Works on Friday night. We entertained the kids, played video games with them. Wow, I mean, this season, it's one of the best I've had since I started working as a scare actor, not the unknown scare actor, but as a scare actor over the past 10, 12 years. You know, just wow.
So it was good, you would say.
Absolutely. I could go on and on, but if I did that, we'd go into an hour-long roundtable again, and I don't want that.
There you go. How about you, Storm? How was Trails this year?
Not too bad a year. Started off pretty rainy. We lost, I think, the first whole weekend and the first couple of nights. We didn't run in September this year because September's been that last weekend, September has totaled lower numbers than if we ran the last Thursday of October. So the way Halloween fell and everything, we wanted to do that Thursday and Friday of Halloween week. So we started out with October. We got rained out that first Friday and Saturday, so that weekend got eaten up. Not too bad. Some strong nights. Again, you know, it's a lot of haunts. See, if you have a sports event for your area in that night, you see a decline that night. You do see an off night. We had Monday night football with Patriots and the Colts, so the big Deflategate thing. A lot of people staying home for that, and that was also the first bitterly cold night we had in New England. So I think between the two, they both pretty much shied people away from coming out that night. You know, New England, we deal well with the cold, but not that first, you know, night or weekend that we get down, you know, in the freezing. Everybody's got to find their fleece, and they forget, oh, yeah, this is why we live in New England, for the cold to kill the banana spiders. But otherwise, not too bad of a season. It was a little different this year because general manager I've been working with for the past 10 years at Trails, he's retiring and going down Florida full-time. He was coming up just to do Trails the past 4 or 5 years. But so he's retired, and so there'll need to be some changes and figure out stuff at the farm next year for how Trails will go. But otherwise, no actors got seriously hurt. Twisted knee here and there. You know, always watch and be careful when you're jumping on there. I tell you, we had a lot of actors calling out sick and the no-shows, which, you know, is always a struggle for every haunt to deal with and work with. I mean, here in New England, most of the haunts are pay, and we, you know, we do a paycheck and everything for our actors. But, you know, it's like that last Friday, that last Thursday, we're, you know, we had 17 people out for one thing or another, and it's you just gotta make sure to, you know, eat your vitamin C, take care of yourself, make sure you got rides and stuff, get to know things. I mean, it's, you know, we're able to deal. We are able to move pieces around and make sure the show's a good experience. But you think about some of these kids and stuff out there, hey, you just lost a whole night on your paycheck, which, you know, it's like 10% of your season if you do that once.
Yeah, that's true. So there will be a Trails next year?
That's what the owners are talking about and stuff. I mean, they'll have to do some major reorganization and stuff. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. And I'm going to be involved with something, whether it's Trails or something else. I got to make sure I have the right fit for me and the right fit for the farm and stuff. But, no, they still want to do something. But, you know, that's how a lot of people feel at the end of the year, too. I'm sure a lot of the haunts that you saw closing up this summer and stuff, you know, felt that way. But, you know, you get to a point in a cycle within your haunt and everything where you got to reinvest in some of your materials and things. You have to sharpen up, you know, bring in more new innovative things. Your competition is getting out there. Your customer base is getting more savvy. You know, granted, it's still a large base of it is your normal, oh, yeah, we'll just go out and do something scary and stuff. But we're starting to see some customers who know what the effects are, who know what a betalator is, who know, you know, what a claustrophobia effect is. We're getting a much more educated group coming to our haunts now, and they're looking for those changes. They're looking for those innovation. They're looking to see that you're staying up on the industry. They're looking to see that you have better stuff than what they can put on their lawn, what they can purchase at Spirit, what they can get on the internet, and what effects they could do themselves. So, I mean, that's a benefit for the industry, too, because you're going to keep yourself new and changing. But, you know, you think about it now, your competition has changed just from movies and what's happening around and other haunts in your area to expanding more of this to your savvy clientele, people who, you know, really need to see the value in what you're charging. If you give them a valuable show, you're still going to have a good customer base out there. You're going to have good reviews, and you're going to have good word of mouth.
Excellent.
Well put.
Jerry, I know you had a new CD come out in June. A lot of haunts buy that for this year or other pieces of music. I was at a haunt a few days ago that was using, shall we say, trademark music in their haunt, and I played him a couple of tracks off of Circus of Nightmares, and he was like, holy crap, I got to go to your website and buy your entire catalog. So hopefully that person has done it at this point. Don't know. We'll find out.
I will say that this season definitely my, but also the number of haunts was rather surprising. I mean, in the last 3 weeks, I suddenly just saw an influx of sales, which was, you know, which is nice and very unexpected. I was at last count. I'm actually looking at right now. I had 43 haunts use my music this year, which is down from last year, but you know, 43 is better than 4. So, but no, this season's been good. Last night I went and checked out a new haunted house here in town. It's the Coven of 13, which is part of the Freakling Brothers haunted houses. They have the Gates of Hell, the Victim Experience, and they're really impressed. They got rid of their clown haunt, which has been part of their stable since they opened. And Coven of 13, kind of in between the Castle Vampire and the Gates of Hell. It's kind of right sitting in the middle of that. So a lot of, you know, I don't want to use the term satanic, but, you know, witches and black magic and all that was the main theme. So that was pretty cool. But overall, you know, it's been a good season.
Excellent. Anything really, really blow you away out in Vegas haunt-wise this year? Were there more characters dressed as Halloween
Not
characters
really.
Taking the
I
pictures
mean,
or anything?
No. Like I've mentioned in the past, the haunts out here are all trailer haunts. So, you know, there's not much to, you know, for them to really do to change to it. I only saw a few characters walking around, and that was usually the ones that were for that specific house, usually one or two people. I did speak to the owners of the Asylum and Hotel Fear yesterday, and they said that their numbers were up compared to last year. And that, you know, something that Jim mentioned as well, you know, with how busy his crew was. A lot of haunts, from what I've noticed, are saying record numbers this year compared to last year.
Yeah, we had that.
You know, a lot of haunts were rained out last year. So, and that doesn't seem to be the case this year, even though Storm did mention the first two nights, you know, they couldn't open because of the weather.
I'll tell you, down in the south-southeast, rain was the big buzzword for Halloween season this year, with Joaquin coming by. Basically, the first two weekends of the season, count going back into September, at least three of those four nights were rained out with heavy, heavy rains. You know, most of the interviews I've done have been for haunts this year in North or South Carolina, and I've asked them about the rain dates. And every one of them has missed at least 2 days because of the weather we had earlier this year. And we've got rain going on, you know, today when we're recording this. So this is, you know, November 1st when we're recording this. But, you know, there's a bunch of haunts in the area that were going to stay open tonight, and pretty much all of them canceled. Said, thanks for the season, guys. It was just too wet to get out on the trail. It's too muddy. We don't want to risk any injuries or anything like that. So a lot of rain this year. As far as my traveling and everything, I actually scaled back a little bit. I only went to, let's see, counting code. I think I only went to 11 haunts in 3 weeks because, you know, the first couple weeks, again, were rained out. And saw some great stuff. When this show airs, I'll be at Legendary checking out three more, so I guess the total will be up to 14. I'll go see how things are up in Chicago. But I'm glad to hear that you weren't getting any rain. I know last year, like you said, some haunts out that way were rained out. This year, a lot of stuff was rained out on the East Coast, at least early in the season, but a lot of people have said those numbers have been compensated by larger crowds coming out this year.
I was kind of surprised that, you know, the ones I spoke to out here in Vegas, that they didn't capitalize on at least staying open tonight, you know, because, you know, this, you know, it's November 1st, a day, you know, Sunday night. You would think that some of these haunts would capitalize on wanting to get one, you know, one extra, you know, the last, you know, after Halloween scares or whatever. And they all said, no, we're closed tonight.
You know, sure.
Halloween, that's it, we're done.
Well, think about it.
The first is not really a huge night. As a matter of fact, Halloween night, which we were open for last year, sucked. The attendance was awful, and it was a lot of drunks and stuff. When Halloween falls on a weekend, people go to events. A lot of people have been talking, you know, this year and last year, the trick-or-treating has really fallen off.
The trunk-and-treat, they have a lot of that here in Vegas, and I heard that that was pretty popular. I don't have kids, obviously, but they several of my friends who did said that the trunk-and-treat stuff was really, really packed. And last night alone, I went to the two main haunted houses out here, and each one was at least a 20-minute wait just to get through the ticket line. That's how busy it was.
Wow.
So
that's pretty cool. Well, anyway, let's take a quick break here to pay a couple of bills, play some very important messages. We're talking kind of our Halloween wrap-up 2015, even though there's still Legendary Haunt Tour, and maybe a handful of haunts around the country are opened up this late because it is Friday the 13th weekend. So we'll take a quick break, play some important messages, and be right back.
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, make Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror with the Forka host plus Veister talking the 2015 Halloween season wrap-up. Most of us had pretty fun times going out and checking out some cool haunts out there, or working at some cool haunts, or working at our normal haunt that we seem to have a pretty decent season overall. Guys, what about other things did you guys do? You know, Jerry mentioned there was a lot of trick-or-treating or trunk-or-treating going on in the area. I took my kids regular trick-or-treating, and I was in one of those neighborhoods where all the parents kind of get together and organized. It was really cool. We actually don't have anything like that where I live because I live out in the friggin' sticks. But we drove 90 seconds across small town here to one of the bigger neighborhoods, and all the cul-de-sacs were closed off. All the parents had little fire pits going out in their driveways, and they were handing out candy, and there was at least three or four what I would consider fairly decent yard displays going on with some, you know, ghosts in the windows and some cemeteries put out there. A lot of it, you know, spirit Halloween quality. A couple of them were a little bit better and a couple a little worse. But, kids got a huge load of candy this year and helped them this morning kind of sort out stuff and, of course, take my parental percentage for driving them out there. So that was nice. Got some full-size Almond Joys and Snickers this year. Can't complain one bit. But did you guys do anything that wasn't necessarily haunted house related that you could consider horror? Any good movies you saw? I took my oldest daughter. She's in a theater class now, and she needed to see a couple of plays this year, so I took her to see Dracula this afternoon, actually, at a Theater Charlotte. Turned out to be very, very entertaining. She had not read the book, she'd not seen the entire movie, and was very impressed by it.
How did they play him off?
As, what do you mean?
The Count, the Lugosi, Lee, who played that back in the 92 one?
Oldman.
Oldman? Yeah.
Gary Oldman. It really none of them. I mean, they didn't have very European Lugosi-type accents, anything like that, and they didn't say blah, blah, blah. But the guy that played him was an old man when they did the flashback. They did a flashback for Harker going to the do the deed and all that stuff in Transylvania, and came back, and he was a dashing young man in a cape and a what you would consider traditional vampire garb, and it was very well done. I enjoyed it.
Excellent.
So, if you ever see a play, and it was more based on the book than any of the movies, they mentioned in the playbill.
Yeah, most of the stage plays tend to bounce off the book than they do the movies.
Yeah, there were some things I didn't recognize from seeing in the movies that I assume are in the books. It's been 30-plus years since I've read the book. I probably need to go back and redo that.
Yes.
Well, let's see. In terms of movies, the big one we saw in terms of the horror was Lisa wanted to go see the Goosebumps movie. Goosebumps means absolutely squat to me because I don't have kids of my own, and that was a little past my time. I mean, it was entertaining. Jack Black is always entertaining, but it's not something.
I'll disagree.
Yeah, you didn't see Nacho Libre, apparently.
No, I did not.
Or Year One.
Didn't see that either. Well, he was okay in this. He was okay in this. I mean, if you liked the books, I think you're going to get a kick out of this. My wife got a big smile on her face because she caught all the references and whatnot. It's an entertaining film. I wouldn't sit through it twice, but it was fun. Then we saw Hotel Transylvania 2, which, yes, go ahead, Drew. I do not say blah, blah, blah. Which actually wasn't as funny as the first. If you saw the first one, this kind of builds up on it, but it's a little more of an adult theme this time.
Okay. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was just as funny as the first one.
Some of it didn't work for me the second time around, but that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Thank you, Dennis Miller. And we went and saw Halloween, the original one, in the theaters. There was a special limited Fathom events. When was that? Oh, it was the 29th. And that young man I work with who plays Michael Myers in our haunt, we all sat there. And I'm always amazed at the stupidity of parents who bring their little 5-year-olds to a film like this in a dark theater and wonder why the kid starts having conniptions. And if you've seen the film, there's a pretty semi-graphic sex scene in there, and then the kids go, "Mommy, what's that?" Shut up, don't pay attention. Parents, I'm never going to understand that.
That's why I never take my kids to the movies.
Why? Parenting 2015.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Like, go check out the film first before you bring kids to this, you know?
It's an R rating for a reason.
Nobody said this generation was smart.
You got that right, Jerry. You got that right. Trick or Treat out here was pretty good, though, this year. I mean, every year, for some reason, our little subdivision, we have just armies of kids every year, and they wipe us out by 7:30. We're just candy broke by then, and we're done.
That kind of brings up an interesting point with daylight savings not happening until November 1st. A lot of places didn't get dark until 7. I remember, you know, most years, I mean, especially when I was a kid, we were in the neighborhood by 5:30 because that's when it got dark. And it really seemed that trick-or-treating was intense for a lot shorter amount of time this year, because by 8 o'clock, 8:30, streets were deserted down here.
How much time do they give you in your area, Drew?
What do you mean, give us? We take whatever we want. I mean, we don't have, I mean, I don't know if this is the same in the larger towns. I live in a town of 3,000 people, roughly. And they basically just say, you know, don't break the law, don't smash windows, egg houses, or anything. But we never get letters or anything saying, trick or treat will be from this time to this time.
That's us.
You know, I hear about that in other parts of the country, and I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's
just depressing.
That is depressing.
Oh, we've got from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and that's it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a little kid, we used to go out at 5:30, just when it was getting dark enough to put the lights on in the car. We'd drive down, because we lived in this part of the neighborhood, and we were like one of the only houses because new neighborhood development. And then we'd drive down to the old section of the neighborhood where all the houses were. And, I mean, for about 6 or 7 years, all the neighborhood kids, I mean, we got together like in September. We were like, all right, we're going to start doing some recon. We got some walkie-talkies. We're going to hit this street first. We're going to take a right down this street, go back up, circle around the block, if there's, and we're going to meet back here in 40 minutes or 30 minutes and find out who's got apples and avoid them next time and see who's got full-size marathon bars, and we're going to take them and hit them again. And I mean, we used to make this just really elaborate, and now it seems like, you know, if Halloween isn't on a Saturday like it was this year, then I've heard where other parts of the country, you have to go trick-or-treating on Saturday, even though it might only be like the 26th or something. I'm like, what the heck has happened to Halloween?
I actually went by a friend's house last night. It was about 7:30, I think. Yeah, about 7:30. And the amount of kids that were out in that area, which wasn't too far from where I used to live a year and a half ago, I was surprised how many kids were out. And that neighborhood actually, there's about 15 houses on that street, and at least half of them had decorations up. Some of them actually had some decent stuff. It wasn't your typical, you know, Walmart crap. These were actually, you know, one house actually had, you know, he made his own Sam from a Trick or Treat prop.
Wow.
That's, and actually had his kid dressed up, you know, as Sam without the mask on. So, I mean, it was actually neat. It brought back memories of, like you were saying, of what it was like when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, at 9 o'clock, you still had kids going trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, there wasn't a time limit. The only time limit was if you ran out of candy.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I remember back in the days, in Chicago, we would start, especially if you landed on a Saturday or Sunday, we'd start at noon sharp, and we'd run till 10 or 11, which is unheard of in these days. It's unreal. As for wandering around, because we live in an apartment complex, and we're also part of our neighborhood watch, so we go out and hand out candy while we keep an eye on things. In terms of displays, our neighborhood, I mean, you got some basic stuff, but nothing really elaborate. I mean, all you generalists saw what we do on this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know?
How do I say this? We're not trying to brag, but, you know, we have to go out into the other neighborhoods to see stuff like that. Out in this section, it's all, you know, we are the neighborhood of the inflatables.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, something I can really do without. But some people, like I said, if we go to some of the outlying neighborhoods and communities out here, some people do some great stuff. And so we go see that, okay, we have competition. We got to up our game again.
But that's not a bad thing, I guess.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it. It keeps you sharp.
Sure.
You know, unfortunately, my apartment complex where I'm at, I mean, there's nothing, you know. And I'm on the third floor, so putting anything out is kind of pointless because no one can really see it.
That's right.
But I did, before I left, put some speakers out on the patio and just played some spooky sounds and everything. And the only thing I got was, dude, that's too loud. You're disturbing my kid. I'm looking down going, your kid could use a little weight loss. You know, let's scare a little bastard and run through that path.
It's going to be diabetic by 12 anyway.
There you go.
I started this a couple of years ago when we discovered this neighborhood that we took the kids trick-or-treating to, when we finally went and put all the kids in the car, and it was maybe 8 o'clock, 8:05. We roll all the windows down, we pop in a CD, and we just play, this time we had Damnation's Embrace in the CD player. We cranked it up to 11 and just drove up and down the road. There were the trick-or-treaters were basically starting to peter out. There were some older kids out there, and, you know, they were dressed up, and they were jumping out at people from around cars and things, which was kind of cool. But, man, when that music starts hitting, they all kind of stop and stare. And we're driving past maybe 10 miles an hour, just, you know, the lights are on, you know, on the car. You can't really see anything other than that. But, you know, just cranking, you know, Cirque de Diablo or whatever the tune we had playing at the time, they were just like, holy crap, what the hell's this? As we pulled out of the neighborhood and back home. So, you know, we'll keep doing that. My oldest daughter, this was probably her last year trick-or-treating, but the twins still have maybe a couple more years in them, so we'll definitely do that at least a couple more times.
They did use one of the haunts did use some of my music this year in town. So this was actually the first time a local haunt use my stuff, and my second time hearing my own stuff at a haunt. The haunt said for Hotel Fear in the Asylum, I showed up there with some CDs about a week ago, and I wanted to give them to some of the staff members because I know some of the people on there, and give it to the owner as well. And they ended up, when I showed up last night, there was a poster up by the ticket booth, Music, Midnight Syndicate, and a couple other people, and then there was one of my posters up there as well.
Did you get one of those, hey, that's me, and they're like, oh, BF, that ain't you.
My picture's not on it, so it was kind of hard to tell.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, is it one of those where they were like, no, really, it is me. Yeah, I've heard that before.
You know, the guy did point out when, because they had me, you know, they had some, they actually had a DJ out there last night who was playing, you know, actually mixing the stuff while he was there. And they introduced me, and he's like, yeah, this is the guy that does the metal haunt music. And he's like, no kidding. And he goes, do you have any CDs with you? I said, I have a couple in my car. He goes, dude, let's do a giveaway. So we did a giveaway of two copies of the CD, and they had to answer a trivia question about the backstory of the hunt.
Ooh.
So that was kind of neat.
That was kind of interesting. I don't know if you guys – go ahead. I was going to say – go ahead.
We're stepping on each other's tongues.
Blah, 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 blah. I've seen posters for some of your stuff out here, Jerry, just so you know.
That's cool. I thought about putting up on the website, you know, saying, hey, you know, if you're using my music, take a picture and send it to me. I want to see about maybe getting a gallery up of which ones that are actually following through and what they say they're going to do.
That's cool. You said you had 42 haunts. I mean, is that just 42 haunts that registered with you? Or, you know, you got to think that for all the ones that use your music, not all of them are registering.
Register with the haunt on Thursday night. Register their haunt Thursday night.
Wow.
And I went and checked out their haunt, and they'd been open for 3 weeks already.
See, there you go. Maybe they just had a guilty conscience.
Hey, Drew,
getting royalties.
There you go. Hey, Drew, you brought something up earlier that I thought I wanted to comment on, because somebody in another haunt said this to me, why a lot of people aren't open this evening. An owner of another neighboring haunt said to me point blank, you can't compete with The Walking Dead, unquote.
Ooh, good point.
He says that just the last couple of years, that show has just murdered his Sunday night business.
Interesting.
And I think a lot of people feel that way. Now, we've got a couple of them who are going to be open out here next weekend, but I don't see much for their success. Not in this neck of the woods.
I think a lot of people are not quite ready to give it up yet. Again, it was a Saturday this year as opposed to a weeknight, so people could get out and party a little bit more hardy than they normally would if it was a Wednesday or a Thursday. But, you know, I normally go down and work the last Saturday at Netherworld, and they have thousands of people in line every night that I have worked there. And, I mean, their queue lines are like it's 2 weeks before Halloween. There just literally are thousands of people waiting to get in. I'm like, you guys could stay open the entire month of November. And they're like, yeah, we probably could, but our actors are just so tired from being open every day in October that, you know, we just can't stay open anymore.
So it's true they are open Monday through Friday and things like that?
I believe they are open every night in October and then select weekends September and November. Now, Ben was even talking to me in the interview I had with him a couple weeks ago that they're considering staying open the 13th and 14th because it is a Friday the 13th in November.
Yeah, that would work.
And I think a bunch of haunts are going to do that. Yeah, and he's like, again, but, you know, our actors are tired. Some of them want to go to Chicago to Legendary, so, and I know Ben will be up there. So it's kind
of interesting. Didn't you cover like four states? Jim?
Jim?
Yes.
Oh, Jim.
Sorry.
Sorry about that.
I spaced out for a second.
You guys covered like four states, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Drew brought up, you know, the guys being tired and everything. You guys were covering like four different areas.
We did. We covered Ohio, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and Indiana.
Wow.
It was, you know, I had teams all over the place. At one point in time in the middle of the season, I had three different teams in three different states.
Very nice.
I had people in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky all at the same time. It was just more than I could have hoped for this season.
Awesome.
I put on an actor workshop in 6 states this year, which was pretty good. It wasn't my best year ever, but it was a pretty solid year. So, got that going for me for next year. We'll see. But anything else, guys? Well, you know, we don't ever talk movies or TV or anything. What do you guys think of The Walking Dead this year?
Intense.
No spoilers at this point, because this is airing.
Right. I have my theories about...
You have your...
Don't do that! Don't do that!
Well, I'm 3 hours behind all of you right now, so it hasn't even come on yet.
Oh, it hasn't come out here either.
Yeah, no, Walking Dead's been great. Well, wasn't last night the debut of the Evil Dead series?
It was supposed to air on Halloween night, Ash versus Evil Dead on Stars.
Stars?
Yes. And if you listen to
most so far,
the hype for that, it was so big that I think we mentioned it on the news either this show or last that they've already been renewed for a second season.
Oh, wow. So
that should be very, very interesting to see, you know, what kind of cool stuff they come up with for the next 2 years. So it'll be kind of cool. You know, this is the time of year I start getting a lot of TV and movie news and you know, so be prepared to hear a lot of that on Big Scary News and Deadline News, because all our haunt stuff is starting to dry up for the season. But, technically, if you want to get down to it in, you know, HauntCon starts at the end of January, so that's only a couple of months away. So, you know, it's not too long until the season starts firing back up again. Anybody making plans to head to any major conventions in 2016 that,
yes.
We always go to Midwest, you know, pretty much all of us do. Anybody planning on trying a new convention this year? I know this year I went to Scare LA for the first time, and I was super impressed with that. That's going to have to be a tradition with me. I'm going to have to put more money away in my sock drawer to make that trip out there, because I loved Scare LA.
Lisa's been promising this for years. I think it's finally going to materialize in 2016. We're going to try and do Monsterpalooza.
Ooh.
I've been wanting to see that for a decade. We could never seem to get our act together, but this time we just may be able to pull it off.
And that's where?
That's out in Los Angeles.
Burbank, I believe.
Right.
Okay, very cool.
It'll mean sacrificing Transworld this year, but I think I can live with that.
Anybody else?
I've already started... I started working on Black Moon Asylum finally. So, actually, a couple nights ago. And that one is already coming together a lot quicker than I expected. As far as doing conventions, right now, budget wise, M816, mainly because my daughter's getting married 3 weeks later.
Oh, congratulations.
So I have to kind of see where the budget stands.
Sure.
And thank you. I have to see where the budget stands right now because I'll be flying out to Ohio within 3 weeks of apart of each other.
Although you may be...
And right now with the job situation being what it is, money's a little tight.
Maybe you could just stay in Ohio for 3 weeks.
Can't afford that. I need income.
Understood.
Yeah. I can relate to that one, Jerry.
Well, you can just stay with either me or Vice, or, you know.
You can stay with us a little bit.
There you go. So that's something we can always talk about, and the, you know, these will be starting up
food.
Starting up pretty soon here. But looking at the clock, looks like we do need to start winding down here. So any last major adventures or cool things that happened to you guys during Halloween 2015.
I will say, working on my home haunt one night, some guy walked up with his camera. We had a lot of people come by taking pictures this year, which was really gratifying. Unfortunately, I didn't see this guy with his camera, and I turned around and he goes, "You mind if I take a picture?" I'm like, "Sure, no problem." He had one of those big, old-fashioned ones with the big bulb, but I was blind for about a week afterwards. Uh-huh. Thank you! Oh!
Warned right somebody over. Before you do that.
Yeah, like, you know, fell right over the tombstone. It's like, spots, spots. Woo-hoo, thanks, guy.
I have nothing else going on as far as bringing up highlights for the season, but I will say a week from today, we're going to have King Diamond will be here in town with Exodus opening, and he's performing the entire Abigail album live.
I heard about that.
And it'll be the first time he's performed this entire album live. Steve Martini, formerly of Screenline Studios, is flying out from your guy's neck of the woods to watch this, because it's not going to be out where he's at. So,
You bastard.
Speaking of
that's going to be fun.
That kind of thing, Jerry. You going to catch the Sabbath tour?
If they bring Bill Ward out, yeah, I want it. If
in other words, he's not going.
Big question mark.
Yeah, I know that has been such a bone of contention. Mm.
We got Iron Maiden coming out though in February.
Yeah, we're gonna get them in April.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, gentlemen, again, we can play the taps. We can play the hey goodbye music. It is time to wind down Halloween 2015, and I do want to thank each and every one of you for talking a little bit about your seasons. Looks like everybody, for the most part, had a great time. We certainly hope everyone in the audience got to go to the haunts they wanted to, got to see some cool things, caught some movies, caught some TV, and just had a great time trick-or-treating, taking their kids or other, and just enjoying the season that is Halloween, the most glorious time of the year. Want to thank our hosts, including Storm.
Happy Halloween. Hope everybody was safe, and yay!
The unknown scare actor.
Season's over, but it's going to get ramped up really quick, so be prepared for 2016.
The hauntstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
Halloween is maybe once a year to everybody, but is lifelong for all of us.
Special correspondent, The Veister.
I couldn't say it any better than Mr. Vane said, so I'll just pass on this one.
Oh, I thought you were passing on some words of wisdom or something. Anyway.
No. He's just passing something.
He's just passing.
I just passed something. I'm sorry.
My name is Drew Badger, reminding each and every one of you to have a wonderful, safe Halloween 2016 coming up very soon. Keep listening to the show. All the cool things are happening out there. Faster than you think. In fact, it's only about 12 weeks away before HauntCon Birmingham. So, there you go. Anyway, this is the Big Scary Show's Roundtable of Terror. Don't you go away.
You hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Wednesday 13, trick or treat, we're going to kill you on the Big Scary Show.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live in Sawmills, North Carolina, at one of my favorite haunts in North Carolina, Horror Fields. Been here since year one, coming here, and every year they change it up. I came out here, and again, they've changed it up. What can I say? I got the owner, Jamie, a.k.a. Hatchet, out here. Jamie, how you doing?
Good, Badger. How are you?
We're hanging in there, man. Just pulled up. Haven't gone through anything yet. You have done yet more changes to Horror Fields. Every single year, looks like you renovate the entire place.
100% every single season, and it takes a toll, that's for sure.
So what's the main themes of Horror Fields for 2015? By the time this airs, you know, you're going to be shut down for the year and all, but looks like you just got some great crowds here. What are they experiencing tonight?
All right, so from last year, we had the Horror Fields Haunted Attraction, and we had the Undead Paintball. This year, we have split the Horror Fields up into two haunts, and we still have the paintball. So there's three attractions here. And we have the lab, which is, you know, kind of a psychiatric hospital science lab. And then we have the Hellbillies, which if you're here from North Carolina, you probably see these guys around every day. Yeah. But it's just a bunch of redneck guys.
I'm going to say it doesn't take much acting to work in the Hellbilly if you're from Caldwell County.
No, we just picked them up off the side of the road, brought them in.
There you go. And not even costumed either. I like that. So why change 100% of everything out every year?
When I was a kid, we went to haunts, and we went to the same ones every year, and it was the same thing every year, hardly any changes, and I wanted to change that. When you look at some of the bigger haunts like Netherworld down in Atlanta, it's different every year. So even though it's a painstaking process, we go through it, and we do it every year so that we have the same loyal customers coming back seeing something new every year.
You don't have anybody complaining, hey, where's this or where's that guy from last year that I really liked?
Sure. We have icon characters that are the same here every year, but then we have some that skip a year or two. We always have our Scarecrow Nix, and he's here every year. But this year, Colton, who is a staple character, he's not here. Mm. But look out next year. He may be back.
Never know. Everybody loves zombie paintball. People seem to think that zombie paintball's kind of jumped the shark. A lot of people are, this year I know a couple of haunts that are just like, well, we're just not going to do it this year. I don't think it's as popular, even though Walking Dead's as popular as ever. How's zombie paintball and undead paintball been for you guys?
Every year it's a challenge, but this year we have had the most response we have had since year one. As you can see now, the line is all the way down through the parking lot. And they're all here for paintball and the haunts. So, I don't know, guys.
You're doing something right.
Paintball's awesome.
Of course, people just like to shoot at things around here, too.
Yeah, well, when you get up down here in these southern states, it's fun to shoot anything.
I'm not commenting on any of that. I'll keep my guns safely tucked away just in case.
Yeah.
So, anybody who's planning on coming up here for next year is going to expect different things, I assume. Any spoilers you can give us for 2016?
Oh, yes. We have a huge spoiler we can give you. 2016 Horror Fields will be scary.
I'll take that as a spoiler because I certainly have been, well, you know, terrified every time I've gone through here. So scary might be a welcome relief after all that. Any plans on maybe doing a Valentine's or a Christmas or a Friday the 13th thing in the off season? That seems to be another trend that a lot of haunts are going to.
I've seen that happening, and it looks like November this year is going to have a couple haunts open in the area, but we don't have any plans. As you know, we use corn, and by November or February, the corn's gone.
True.
And the buildings that we do have, you know, we've taken them down in November to start working on next year, so we don't have any plans for that.
Okay. Sounds like a cool, cool thing. So anyway, for people who are interested, maybe driving along I-40, Highway 321, passing through the mountains in the beautiful foothills in North Carolina and decide, hey, I need to go see a haunted house. How can they get information, social media, websites, etc. for 2016?
Well, you can always go to horrorfields.com or Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We are all over the internet. Just look up Horror Fields and you will find directions, ticket prices, anything you need to know.
Excellent. Jamie, a.k.a. Hatchet, always a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show. We will definitely get ready to go check out this, maybe shoot an undead somebody or something or two, and check out the lab, Hellbilly, and all the good things that come with Horror Fields 2015. My name is Drew Badger, once again on the road for the Big Scary Show. And we're out.
in a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, it's November, and it's that time of year again to talk about the most dangerous of customers at your haunt, the most frightening of creatures. Yes, that is the haunt spider. We're not talking about the, you know, wire and foam ones you have up in your haunt. No, we're talking about the giant hobbit-eating creatures that have lived in your haunt for the past few weeks, sheltering themselves from the cold, finding the dark spaces, putting cobwebs where you didn't put cobwebs. But yes, the horror upon horrors when you're taking down your haunt and this giant, eight-legged, eight-eyed, fanged, furry thing comes crawling out going, "Hey, what are you doing to my home? I was catching a lot of good bugs there. Oh, look, I have 10 of my fiercest friends with enlarged bodies. We're going to walk around and try and crawl up your arm as you're pulling out screws from a haunt." Oh, God! Oh, every year, and they get bigger and bigger. I think it's the same one living in our dark maze every year. I mean, just horrific. I'm getting better because I have arachnophobia, so I'm better where spiders belong. I'm in the woods. I'm taking down haunt for Trails of Terror. You don't mind a ride in the trail I work at. So, giant spiders in the woods, okay. But still, coming out of a haunt when I'm trying to work and trying to steal my hammers. And yes, spiders can use hammers. I've seen it happen. I had one steal my hammer in the woods. It's crazy. So, while you're out there taking down your haunt, watch out for the haunt spiders.
So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com. today.
Sam Haines. Haunts on the Big Scary Show.
sounds kind of silly, but would you believe that the spirits of the dead can come back to haunt the living? Do you believe in ghosts?
Zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find creepy collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com. As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor. Videos and more. UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntstra medalist Jerry Vane. Pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at JerryVane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger. Actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. news@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time, when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.